Okay, we're going to get started on a sicha that is... First, let me tell you a little feeling I got when I learned the sicha in preparation for giving the shir. Likutei sicha is chelik yud aleph, the sicha of boy, the second sicha. It's also a siyum on the tractate of Pesachim. You know, we have the annual kinnus hashluchim, and there's always a very rich program at the conference, workshops and all kinds of things like that. But there's something else that takes place besides the workshops. The workshops are the official topics that are talked about and discussed, and they are taped and so on. But then there's the stuff that goes on in the hallways. And believe me, there's another set of information and stuff going on there. Very valuable. But it's in the hallways. So I hope I'm not being disrespectful. Well, I'm using this just to try and give a picture how the Rebbe's sicha here is intense in the pnim, which we call in the actual sicha, and that's what we're going to cover mainly. But in the footnotes this week in this sicha, there are pages where the footnotes are, there's only two pages, there's only a paragraph or two of the inside of the Sichel Rechus is footnotes. And one of the columns, there's two pages of the actual Sicha, and the rest of the page is footnotes. So there's a whole beautiful thing going on in the footnotes, intricate and deep and so on. But I'm going to try and bring you those snippets, bits and pieces of that. But we're going to focus. It's a long sicha, and there's also a whole separate section about the pnimius, about what this tells us according to the words in the words of Chassidus, which is almost like its own sicha as well. So let's jump into it. The pasuk says in the end of the portion of boy that every bechor of man. Chol b'chayr Adam, in every firstborn of men, Jewish men, b'vanecha, amongst your sons, tifte, you should redeem. In other words, the Yerushalmi brings this pasuk from our verse and says, besides the fact that we know, obviously, that the father has to redeem the son, this actual pasuk has the ingredients to tell us if a father didn't redeem his son, the son is obligated to redeem himself when he gets older. The Bavli, I don't know if I'll remember to tell you later, but it's an important addition here. When he gets older, many mitzvahs you do when as a kid gets to a certain age, you start waving the lulav with him. There's a mitzvah of chinuch. You educate your child. So why, if a child, God forbid, his father didn't do him a pidyon haben, and he realizes at 11 years old that he was never done, or for example, at 12, why does he have to wait till bar mitzvah? Why don't we say, do the mitzvah right away? And one of the commentaries, one of the Rishonim, brings the answer because you can only, I'm not sure if it's Rishonim, one of the halachic commentaries brings that you can only do the mitzvah once. It's not like a mitzvah of lulav. You shake it when you're 11 and then when you're 13 and Sukkot comes, you're a bar mitzvah boy, you shake it with a full obligation. If you did the redeeming of, if you redeemed yourself when you were 12 and you were a firstborn, you can't do it with a full obligation in the proper way when you're 13. So that's why you would wait. That boy would wait till he grows up. So if his father didn't do it for whatever reason, then when he grows up and he becomes a mitzvah, he should redeem himself. Where do we learn it from? We learn it from the verse in our pasuk in Parshas Boy, which says that every bechor of your children shall be redeemed. And in the commentaries on the Yerushalmi, which is doing this learning, the way it's explained is b'chol b'chor adam. It seems to be a bit of a redundant term. So it's learned b'chol b'chor adam. Every firstborn person should himself be redeemed or redeem himself, or your son you should redeem. And we'll later learn that usually that's done by a father to a son. But in those words contain within it the obligation on the child and the obligation on the father to redeem the child. Okay. The Bavli, the Babylonian Talmud, does not learn this law that if a child wasn't redeemed, he should redeem himself from this verse in our pasuk. It's learned from a pasuk in the book of Bamidbar in the portion of Korach where it speaks about the gifts that go to the Kohanim. It says, Padai tifta. There's a double expression. You shall surely redeem your son. That double expression tells us, if your father didn't do it for you, you do it yourself. Well, we have to understand what's the difference which pasuk you learn it from. The halacha remains the same. All are in agreement that a person's father didn't redeem him when he was 30 days old. The obligation of redeeming a child comes when he's 30. If it wasn't done at 30 days old, then the child should do it when he becomes of age, when he becomes bar mitzvah. What's the difference? Which pasuk exactly you learn it from? Why is there a difference between the Bavli and the Yerushalmi? The Babylonian Talmud and the Yerushalayim Talmud. Number two, obviously, if they're bringing different verses, there must be a difference. But why then did the Bavli, the Babylonian Talmud learn it from one pasuk, Padei Tifta, the verse in Bamidbar, whereas the Gemara in Yerushalmi learned it right here in our portion where the mitzvah is introduced about redeeming your firstborn son? Paragraph 2. Now, there is a difference between where the instructions are learned from, because in our portion, it's being instructed in the laws of redemption of your firstborn son. And it says that because Hashem redeemed all firstborn Israelites in Egypt while he killed all firstborn Egyptians, so therefore there's an obligation to constantly remember that and to redeem the firstborns when they're 30 days old, basically when they're born and they leave a stage of danger. After 30 days, baby is assumed to be, thank God, healthy and life will continue. So, in our portion, it says clearly that the obligation is on the father. Whereas in the portion of Bamid, in other words, this is one of the things that a father has to do with the firstborn son. In the portion, in the book of Bamidbar, it just says you have to redeem the firstborn Adam, the firstborn Jewish person. So it doesn't say specifically about redeeming a son. It just says the firstborn, human firstborns that are born, Jewish firstborns that are born, need to be redeemed. Number two, in our parsha, the tzivui, the instruction, is in as a continuation of the description of the going out of Egypt. And that's the reason, because Paro hardened his heart. And Hashem had to go and kill every firstborn of Egypt. And he saved every one of our firstborns. Therefore, I, the Jew speaking, telling his children at the Seder, therefore I redeem all of my firstborn sons. In the portion of Korach, where the book of Bamidbar, it's brought as one of the gifts that the Kohanim are entitled to. One of the gifts are that every firstborn Jewish child belongs to him until he's redeemed by their parents for five silver pieces. Of course, so according to this, we could understand that the reason between where the Bavli learns it from the portion in Bamidbar about the gifts of to the Kohanim, and the Yerushalmi, which learns it from the pasuk here about the obligation of the father to redeem his son, that must be the difference. One is learning it from the gifts of the Kohanim, one is learning it from the obligations of the father. They're both, it's the same mitzvah. The Kohen gets the gift of the five silver pieces, which the father has the obligation to do when he has a firstborn son. But we want to understand why does one learn from here and one learn from there. But to get to that understanding, let's go to paragraph 3, says the Rebbe. Let's in general introduce the end of the book, the Tractate of Pesachim. This sicha was said, why is it being as a siyum? It was said at the Rebbe's 60th birthday, Yud Aleph Nissan, 5722, Yud Aleph Nissan of 1962, where the Rebbe was turning 60, and he made a Fabrengen, and he said a Siyum, finished the tractate of Masechta Pesachim, so that it would have the full, the gathering would have the full, joy of being a celebration of finishing a tractate of Talmud. Paragraph 3. So, the end of the tractate of the Psachim, the tractate of Gemara, that speaks all about Pesach, it says as follows. Rabbi Simloi came to a Pidyon HaBen to the ceremony of redeeming the firstborn son. And they asked him, it's obvious, pshita, it's clear that for pidyon haben, the bracha is asher kiddushan, the mitzvah of itzivan al pidyon haben, blessing Hashem for the mitzvah of redeeming the son, Aviya ben Mavarch, the father. It's obvious that the father, that bracha of the pidyon haben, the father of the child makes the bracha. But the baruch shechiyanu v'kimanu v'ganu zved, there's also a shechiyanu bracha to thank Hashem for coming to that time. Who says that bracha? The kohen, who's the recipient of the 5 shekels, or the father of the child? Says the Gemara like this, the reasoning. On the one hand, does the kohen make a bracha because he gets the benefit? He gets the cash? So when you have a benefit, you make a shechiyanu. Say, I think, oh, thank you Hashem for keeping me alive to this time. Or does the father of the child make the bracha because he's doing the mitzvah? And you make a bracha, there's a bracha of shechiyanu, which you make about the joy of Hashem giving you the opportunity to do a mitzvah that comes, mizman lezman, a mitzvah that comes only from time to time. You may feel familiar with it. We make a bracha when a yom tov comes, something that comes from time to time. So here's a mitzvah that's not always there. You had the opportunity, the mitzvah of redeeming your son, make a shechiyanu. But the kohen got the shkalim, so who makes the shechiyanu? He didn't have the answer, Rabbi Simlai. He came and he asked in the Beis Medrash, in the House of Learning, they told him that the father of the child will make the bracha, will make 2 brachas. In other words, the Al Pidyon HaBen, the bracha for the redeeming of the firstborn, and the Shechiyanu, and the halacha is that the father of the child makes both brachas. Now we have to understand this question about who makes the bracha, the kohen or the father of the child, is only a question about Shechiyanu. So why did the Gemara ask the question with an introduction? The Gemara says, we know for sure that for Pidyon HaBen, the father makes the blessing, Asher Kiddushanu Mitzvah Yisivanu, thanking God who commanded us in the mitzvah of Pidyon HaBen. Why do we need that introduction? Just ask, who makes the Shechiyanu? So this question was already asked by a commentary on the Gemara called the Tzlach, Tzia in Lenefesh Chaya. And he answers that the intention here is, because the introduction to the question about who makes the bracha of the Shechiyanu, the kohen, the father of the son, is coming from a certain context. And here is he gives 2 possibilities for the context that is being introduced by the fact that the father makes the bracha al pidyon haben. Here I have to give you a little bit of a little bit of background. You know, there are some mitzvahs, you know, that we make al, and some mitzvahs we make le. For example, Baruch Atah Hashem Elokeinu Melech Haolam, lahadlik ner Chanukah. The mitzvah of kindling the light of Chanukah. Or lahadlik ner Shabbos, right? For example, kindling the light of Shabbos. Then there are other mitzvahs we make a bracha al. For example, we come to eat matzah. Baruch Hashem al achilas matzah. Thank Hashem for the bracha of eating matzah. Some we make the bracha al netilas yodayim, for example. Some we make the bracha lahadlik ner. What's the difference? So one of the opinions is that the difference is those mitzvahs you're allowed to do through a shliach, you can appoint an agent to do it. For those mitzvahs, you make the bracha al. Okay? Al pidyon haben. And therefore, this is, by the way, a long topic, so I'm not going to go into it at great length. So since you can do it through a shliach, so therefore we make al. So if you make, the Gemara is saying this: you make the bracha al pidyon haben, which means obviously you can do it through a shliach. Since the father makes an al pidyon haben, this is why is the nusach, why is the language of the bracha the al? Because you can do the bracha through a shliach. If so, the question is, if you're allowed to do it through an agent, so who's going to make the shechiyanu? Does the father make the shechiyanu? Even though that will mean sometimes there won't be a shechiyanu. Because if you made an agent, the agent won't be making the shechiyanu for him. That shechiyanu bracha doesn't transfer, not transferable to an agent. The shechiyanu is for the joy of doing the mitzvah. The mitzvah isn't coming upon the father. The moment he moved it over to an agent, the agent wouldn't say a shechiyanu. Right? Or perhaps because the mitzvah is al, which means you could do it through a shliach, maybe therefore the mitzvah should go to the kohen, because the kohen will always be in a state of benefiting. That will never be up for grabs. He's always going to get the 5 silver pieces, right? Or another position that the tzlach, tzil nefesh chai presents is, that from saying the bracha, al pidyon haben, what does that tell us? It means that the pidyon, the mitzvah is not fully completed by the father. It's the kohen helping him. Because the we make a bracha al, in other words, the language, if it would be liftois, it would sound like the father is obligated to do the mitzvah, thanking Hashem for the mitzvah, to redeem the child, and he's done the whole mitzvah from his side. When we say al pidyon haben, it sounds like he's thanking Hashem for the mitzvah of pidyon haben. He's kind of emphasizing that there's two parts to it. The kohen is a helpmate to him in this mitzvah. So therefore the question is, since the kohen is a helpmate to him in this mitzvah, who should make the shechianu? On the one hand, he's doing a mitzvah, the kohen's doing a mitzvah, because he's also participating in receiving the shkalim. But perhaps the kohen should be the mitzvah is maybe mainly on the father, but the kohen also gets benefits. So maybe if we have to make one bracha on this mitzvah, maybe the kohen should make it. So that's why this concept is introduced. The al, the fact that we make the bracha al pidyon haben, somehow introduces an element, other elements to the mitzvah of pidyon haben, which involve the kohen, and therefore we want to see, maybe because of that, there's a question who should make the shehechianu. However, really, what the tzlach has been telling us is that the Gemara is saying, I want to ask a question, since the bracha is al, and not le, that's why now we have a question, who's going to make the shehechianu? That's not what it sounds like from the Gemara. The Gemara says, that the question is who's making the bracha, not what the nusach of bracha is. The Gemara says it's clear that the father makes the al pidyon haben, the shechianu who makes, the kohen or not. So in other words, the whole question is just who's making the bracha. It's not being derived from what the language of the bracha is. Also, if that was the main point, what the language of the bracha is, and that's the reason there's a doubt about the shechianu, so the language of Gemara should have been different. The language should have been, it's clear that the father makes al pidyon haben, the shechianu, does the kohen make it or not? So basically the question here that Rebbe poses is that doesn't sit well with the language of the Gemara. And also another thing is Rabbi Simloi finishes off and he says, okay, the Beis Medrash, they come to the conclusion the father of the son makes two brachas. And that's the way the Gemara finishes. V'hilchasa, the law is the father makes both brachas. Why is he calling it both brachas? There was no question about both. We knew the father is going to make the bracha for the redeeming of the son. The question was the shechianu. So why doesn't it just say the halacha is the father of the son of the child also makes shechianu? Why are we making a point out of saying he says two? It's like somehow they're connected. I will say that I didn't do great justice to this aspect of the sicha. It's we would have to go more into the difference of the nusach of the brachas of al and le. And by the way, it's a bit complicated topic, because to fit all the mitzvahs that we know of that have a bracha al and le into one clear and compact definitive reason why al and why le is very difficult. There are various opinions about it. It's not so simple. I mentioned al achilas matzah. You can't do achilas matzah. You can't eat matzah through a shliach. I'll be honest, I don't remember in the Rosh where I was quoting from does explain why the about al achilas matzah. I don't recall. I looked it up, but I'm sorry, I don't remember it. But at any rate, I don't want to get into too much caught up. Basically, what you have to know to move forward is that the proposition proposed by the tzlach as to explain why the Gemara, when he asks a simple question about who's making the shechianu, why he introduces it as if it's hinged on the fact that the father is making al pidyon haben, so who makes the shechianu? What's that statement trying to tell us? It's trying to tell us something, but it's not clear what. The Rebbe brings the tzlach and says, it still doesn't explain, it doesn't sit well in the Gemara. And now, a general question in paragraph 4, we have to understand, what is the connection of mitzvah of pidyon haben with the tractate, at the end of tractate of Psachim? So the Rashbam, the grandson of Rashi, explains that there's another discussion going on at the end of Masechta Psachim. It's about two brachas. When there's together with the Korban Pesach, you also had to bring, the Korban Pesach was the last piece of meat eaten at the meal. You also had to bring some other meat to be eaten. So there was another Korban that was brought with the Korban Pesach, which was a Chagiga. And that Chagiga, special Pesach Chagiga, holiday sacrifice, which you ate meat, you got almost full, and then you ate the last olive size of meat, was the lamb of the Korban Pesach. So the Chagiga was also a mitzvah. So you had two brachas here. There was also a bracha made for eating a regular korban. And there's a bracha for eating the korban pesach, for the mitzvah of eating the korban pesach. There's two brachas mixed at the same time, at the same event. So once we had that two brachas at the same event concept, we moved on to something else which has two brachas, one event, which is Pidyon HaBen. We have the bracha for Pidyon HaBen and the shechir. However, that works in the Gemara, says the Rebbe, okay, the Rashbam explained it that way. But we have to understand the Rif and the Rosh, the, known as Alfasi, and Rabbeinu Osher, Rabbi Yitzchak Alfasi, Rabbeinu Osher, they are those that codify from the Talmud, they're in the back of the Gemara. They gather together the laws, not necessarily in the tractate they're mentioned. They put them in the tractate they belong. So the question is, why here do they also write these laws of the firstborn, these laws about the bracha of Shechiyonu and so on, about the redeeming of the firstborn, in this tractate? What's it got to do with Pesachim, which is talking about the laws of Pesach and the Korban Pesach? Okay, paragraph 5. The explanation of all this is like this. Okay, now you gotta sit tight. The mitzvah of redeeming your child happens through three participants. The father, who's redeeming his child, the child who's being redeemed, and the Kohen, who's receiving the money of the redemption. Now, the participation of the Kohen in the fact that he receives the money of the redemption, and this way the firstborn child is redeemed. By the way, I don't know if you've ever seen it. What happens is you bring the child, you say, this Kohen, this is yours. The Kohen asks the parents, what do you want? You want the child, or you want prefer to redeem him and give me the 5 shekel? And the parents, the father says, I'll give you 5 shekel, and he takes the child. So the participation of the Kohen is that he takes the money. It's not that he has a obligation to redeem the firstborn. No, he's part of the mitzvah of redeeming, which is on the father. Or is it on the father? That's the question now. So the Rebbe says, who is the mitzvah really on? The Kohen is not. The Kohen is just a participant. He's part of it. He needs to be there. Without him, you can't have it. He needs to receive the redeeming money. But when the actual obligation of redemption, of redeeming the firstborn, it could be one of two ways. Either the mitzvah is on the child. However, since the child is not able to redeem himself because of his a baby, so therefore, at the time of 30 days, when the mitzvah is incumbent upon him, the Torah says the mitzvah is on the father. And he takes his place by the Torah appointment, takes the place of the child. Other option is that in the first place, it's a obligation on the father. The mitzvah of redeeming the child is a mitzvah that is obligatory on the father. What's the difference how you look at it? The difference how you look at it is, what happens if the father didn't redeem the child when he was young? And now the child is grown up. Who now has the obligation of redeeming the child? If you say, like we said in the first place, that it's an obligation on the child, but we just put it on the father because the child can't do it yet. So now that the son has grown up and he's now able to do it himself, so he has the obligation. And memela, the obligation and also the privilege. Technically, if they were having a fight, the kid's bar mitzvah says, I want to do it myself. The father says, no, it's mine. Now, if we learn the first way that the mitzvah is on the son, was put on the child when he's a cotton. Now he's grown up. It's father lost the obligation. We also lost the privilege to do this mitzvah, right? But if we're going to say that in the first place, the obligation is on the father. So even the fact that the child grew up and he wasn't yet redeemed, the father still has the obligation. Comes a pasuk and tells you, if the father doesn't do it, the son should do it for himself, right? So from this we can explain the difference between the Babli and Yerushalmi. What's the difference? The Yerushalmi, Jerusalem Talmud, that learns this halacha, that if the father didn't redeem him, then he should redeem himself. He learns it from the very verse where the mitzvah pidyon haben is taught in our parsha in Boy. It says, "V'chol b'chol adam bebanecha tifteh." All firstborn of the Jewish people, of your sons, you shall redeem. We learned there that it's obligation for him, for the son and the father. Either the father does it or the son when he grows up. In other words, in the very beginning, the whole mitzvah of Pidyon HaBen is given as one, which fits more to say that it's a mitzvah on the son, which is fulfilled by the father in the usual scheme of things, because the son is 30 days old, right? The Torah already said there, that's what the Torah said, it's an obligation on the son. The father does it. Obviously, if the father doesn't do it, the son does it. It's all part of one package. However, according to the Bavli that learns it, he learns the Babylonian Talmud learns it from the pasuk that in the book of Bamidbar of Korach that says about the gifts of the kohuna. In other words, not from the pasuk in Boy which speaks about the mitzvah of redeeming the firstborn in general. From this comes out that there's a mitzvah of the father redeeming the firstborn son. Right? The pasuk tells us about the obligation of the father, and then there's an additional teaching later on in the Torah that says, if the father never did it, that the son is able to do it for himself when he grows up. In other words, in essence, the mitzvah is on the father, not on the son. After the son grows up, so it's not that through this, the father, something was taken from the father. Right? Why should you take it away from the father? However, since the son is now obligated in all mitzvahs, he became bar mitzvah, right? And also, he became obligated in the mitzvah that if his father didn't want to redeem him, so the Torah now made a new obligation that says, you're obligated. You get it? In if you learn it as being learned from one pasuk, like the Yerushalmi, that's from our pasuk, in Parshas Bo, we're learning it that it's an obligation, father and son, together. So, in other words, makes sense to say this: it's an obligation on the son, which the father is carrying out at 30 days old. And the Bavli, though, learns as an obligation for the father to redeem his son. That's the mitzvah. Later on, we say that part of the deal of the Kohanim is, hey, we have a pasuk that tells us that the son, if it wasn't done yet, the father is, whatever, forever, not doing it, the son is obligated to do it for himself as well. An additional kind of thing. In the footnote here, the Rebbe uses an interesting language from from one of the previous, not so long ago, the previous generation of Yosef Engel. He says that we could say it in this way. The obligation is on the father, and that's the essential obligation and mitzvah of Pidyon HaBen. The son doing it, if the father didn't do it, according to this way of learning, is... It's a makeup. The Torah gives him an opportunity to fulfill that which was not done. But the essential mitzvah is the father redeeming his son. Okay. And later we'll point out something interesting why that's important. That's chapter paragraph 5. Paragraph 6. According to this, now we're going to understand... Listen carefully. Now we're going to understand why the Gemara is asking the question about Shechiyonu by first saying that it's clear that the mitzvah of Pidyon HaBen, the father makes the bracha. Because only after we say that it's clear that the father makes the bracha of Pidyon HaBen, only then do we understand why we now have a question about the Shechiyonu. What's pshat? In other words, since it's clear, there's no stipulations and no conditions. It's clear that in every situation, the Bavli says, it's clear that when the father redeems the son, at any age, doesn't give any limitation here of age. When the father redeems the son, he makes the bracha, asher kiddushanu b'mitzvah yisav v'tzivonu, thanking Hashem for being commanded to redeem my son. Ah, well, what happens if the son is already 13 years old? The father still makes the blessing. The Bavli just gives a blanket statement that's clear. It's obvious, he says, that when the father redeems the son, and no stipulation given about the age. When the father redeems the son, he makes the bracha, thanking Hashem for commanding him to redeem his son. Going as we said, that the Bavli learns the obligations on the father. If so, right, if the father is making the blessing, that means the obligation is on who? The obligation, l'chatchil, is on the father. It's just if he never does it, the child does it for himself. But here the father says, you may be 13, but I still want to do the mitzvah. He's coming to do the mitzvah. And he makes the bracha, thank Hashem for being commanded, because the mitzvah, pidyon haben, is on the father. So then now the question is, who makes shechiyanu? If the mitzvah, which means say like this, if the father, after the kid turns 13, wouldn't make the bracha, thanking Hashem for commanding me for pidyon haben, which would mean that what? The mitzvah is really on the son. Just the father is doing it because the son's not old enough. But once the son's old enough, he's no longer commanded on it. Because l'chatchila, the mitzvah is on the son. If we would go with that way of learning, then we would know who makes shechiyanu. We wouldn't have a question about the shechiyanu. Why? It would be clear that the kohen makes the shechiyanu. Why? Because the bracha would be about his benefit of getting the five shkalim. There would be no reason to think that the father makes the bracha. Because if, let's think about it, if the mitzvah is on the son, and at 30 days old, the father is coming and doing a mitzvah that really belongs to the son, but he's just fulfilling it, why would he make a shechiyanu? Yeah? He's doing it as a representative of the father. And if that's the case, why would he make a shechiyanu? However, since we learn, the Rebbe does put in a footnote, but look what we say, there are opinions that even as a shaliach, he could make a shechiyanu, but that wouldn't be simple. So in other words, but since it's clear, as the Gemara says, since it's clear that the father makes the bracha al pidyon haben, even if the kid's grown up, which in other words, what does that mean to tell us? That the father is not a representative of the child when he's 30 days old to make the bracha. The mitzvah of pidyon haben is on the father, and it doesn't go away even when the kid is over 13. If so, if it's the father's mitzvah to redeem the child, so now the question is, who makes the shechiyanu, the father or the kohen? I mean, there's a reason why each of them could make shechiyanu. Why? The father could make a shechiyanu because he's doing the mitzvah. The mitzvah is not, he's not filling in for his son because his son's too young. The mitzvah is that the father, right? Because the bracha is, Asher Kidshanu says, al pidyon haben. I was commanded to redeem my son, so he's doing a mitzvah, he should make a shechiyanu. For the fact that Hashem gave him the schus, the merit to do the mitzvah. However, on the other hand, the kohen is getting the money. And any time a joy comes to a person, you should make a shechiyanu. He's getting 5 shekels. In square brackets, the Rebbe says, well, maybe just make 2 shechiyanus. The father for doing the mitzvah, and the kohen for getting the money. So the Rebbe says, you know what, it's not so much money. 5 shekels, I'm not sure how much it is. I think, if I'm not mistaken, check it up with the halachis, but the old silver dollars had enough silver that each one, from certain years, if you look which years, that each one is what you call it. It's not a huge amount of money. I don't think in total, I don't recall what it is, but it's not a huge amount of money. So not every kohen is going to get excited for making that amount of money to get the 5 shekels, right? However, why would he nonetheless make a shechiyanu? Because he's getting it as part of the mitzvah, right? So it's the mitzvah that makes it exciting. So if the father is going to make the shechiyanu because of the mitzvah already, you can't tell the kohen that now these 5 shekels are exciting because of the mitzvah. The mitzvah excitement has already been done by the father. So the question is, who's going to make it? You can't make. It's not going to be a. You're not going to make 2 shechiyanus. Look, maybe if you had to pay $1 million to redeem the kid, okay, the kohen would be excited. But not for 5 shekels, so that's really the mitzvah aspect. The question is, that makes it exciting. Is the kohen's excitement the one that's going to get the shechiyanu, or the father doing the mitzvah? Not both. So now, we can also... So did you get it? The Gemara wants to know, who's making the shechiyanu? But the way it introduces the question is to say, we know that the mitzvah is always on the father to say thank you for the mitzvah of being commanded to do pidyon haben, even if the kid grew up. In other words, it's clear that the father has the obligation, not as the shliach of the son. the father has the obligation, then perhaps he should probably say Shechiyonah. But on the other hand, the Kohen's getting the money, so maybe he should say the Shechiyonah. And we said that, what's the halacha? That the father makes both. We don't just want to say that the father makes Shechiyonah. That was the question that was asked. No, because really we're making a statement here about both. The same reason extends to both. Because the pidyon ben mitzvah mainly is on the father, not just as a representative of the son, but it's a mitzvah that's given to him, and that's why he's always going to make a mitzvah that Hashem commanded me to redeem the son. So therefore, because of that, the mitzvah of Shechiyonu, the bracha of Shechiyonu, is also on him. Because the main mitzvah, the Kohen has some benefit, but the main mitzvah that's being achieved is by the father. Okay. Now, if it would have just said that the father makes a Shechiyonah, we wouldn't have known the reason. It's very important. We would not have known the reason of why the fathers make a Shechiyonah. What would we have thought? We may have thought it's because it's not enough money for the Kohen. That's why the fathers make a Shechiyonah. So that's why he's saying no. He's saying no. The reason is. By the way, Kohanim don't make a bracha when they receive the other gifts that the Kohanim receive. Here there's something unique, and that is that the father is making both brachas. The reason is not the Kohen doesn't make a Shechiyonah because there's not enough money. But no, the reason is because it's the father's mitzvah. And that's the same reason that applies for both brachas. So to emphasize that this is the reason the Shechiyonah goes to the father is because it's his mitzvah, and it's the mitzvah that's getting the Shechiyonah. That's why it's said in that language. Okay. Now we can also understand why it's in the end of Masechet Pesachim. What does this have to do to Masechet Pesachim? Just like the main mitzvah of Pidyon HaBen is said in the written Torah as a continuation for the fact that Hashem hardened the heart of Paro and he killed every firstborn in Egypt and he saved every firstborn of the Jewish people. That's why every father, so it's the Father, Almighty God, who smote the Egyptian, and the Father, Hashem, saved his own firstborn children. So every father has to do the same, to commemorate the fact that his firstborn was saved and redeemed. Just like Hashem redeemed the firstborn Israelites, all of us, all fathers, have to redeem their firstborn child. And that's why it's also in Masechet Pesachim. First, we talk about the mitzvah of Korban Pesach, which is that Hashem jumped over, Passover, Hashem jumped over the homes of the Bnei Yisrael, of the Jewish people, when he smote the Egyptians. And he saved our homes. And that's the very mitzvah, the reason for the mitzvah of Pidyon HaBen. It's a continuation. And that's why that's at the end of Masechet Pesachim. And by this, by bringing it at the end of the laws of Pesach, we now also understand, this is another further strengthening to why the father makes the Shechiyonu. Because who redeemed the firstborn Israelites? Hashem himself. And then Hashem himself took us out. In other words, we understand that this jumps over into the mitzvah of Pidyon HaBen. Same way Hashem took out his firstborn, every father has to personally redeem his firstborn son. There's even an opinion that there are opinions spoken about in response that it shouldn't be done through a shliach. All other mitzvahs we can do through an agent. An agent is just as good as you if you appoint him. But it comes the mitzvah of Pidyon HaBen. The whole pidyon of the firstborn son comes because Hashem saved the firstborns in Egypt. How did he save the firstborns in Egypt? He did it himself. Not through a shliach. We say in that garden. Not through an emissary. Not through an agent. He did it himself. Pidyon HaBen should be done yourself. So this is a continuation of the Masechta of Pesachim. Tells us we have to have a Korban Pesach. Why do we have a Pesach? Because Hashem jumped over the homes. Hashem himself, so to speak, went in. And directed the operation of killing the firstborn Egyptians, saving the firstborn Israelites. From there comes the mitzvah of Pidyon HaBen. That's why it's in the end of Masechet Pesachim. But for that same reason that Hashem did it himself, with Pesach, and he jumped over, that same reason actually helps us in the summation and conclusion of the Gemara, which is that the father makes Shechiyonu. Because he does it himself. It's a mitzvah on the father, just like Hashem, our father, redeemed every firstborn. So therefore, because it's a mitzvah on the father, so he should be making the Shechiyonu as well. Okay, this is the sicha in its nigla, in the revealed, in the the revealed aspect of Torah part. Now the Rebbe says, according to this, we can understand chapter 8, paragraph 8. According to all this, we're also going to explain the end of Masechta Pesachim in Pnimius, in the inner aspect of the Torah. And it's going to be very significant, because what we're going to try and explain is how this also symbolizes the end and the completion of the redemption of Hashem's firstborn from this Golus. Not just from Egypt, but from the Golus, the exile we're in now. Because we know that Hashem commands us to do those things which He Himself does. He's not like a king who makes rules for others but doesn't do himself. Hashem, what He does, that's what He tells us to do. So if so, He will for sure fulfill the mitzvah of redeeming the firstborn son. That's us, to redeem the, Hashem calls in the portion of Shmos, the Jewish people as being B'ni B'cher Yisrael, my firstborn son Israel. So Hashem will definitely do the mitzvah of redeeming him, of redeeming his firstborn. And now, let's explain the last chapter, the Siyum, according to the inner aspect of the Torah. Okay. Rabbi Simloi. Let's see what else Rabbi see. This rabbi, besides coming and asking a question about, they asked him a question about Pidyon HaBen when he showed up. Let's see what else he's known for. So he's the one who's known for teaching us the following. A person should always organize to praise Hashem and then daven, then ask for the things he needs. Okay. So what does it mean generally when we organize to speak about the praise of Hashem? There's two aspects. There's two modes of praising Hashem. What's the usual way of praising Hashem? A bracha. Blessed are you Hashem, King of the universe, right? So let's look at the bracha. There's two aspects of the bracha. There's Baruch Ata. Blessed are you, that second person, direct. In other words, speaking, so to speak, to something in front of us, something revealed. And then we say, Hashem, Elokeinu Melech HaOlam, Hashem, the master universe, Asher Kiddushanu, who He has sanctified us. He. Not that you have sanctified us. We say, blessed are you, Almighty God, so you, talking to Hashem, second person, that He sanctified us, talking third person. When we say He, third person, it's because it's more distant. So the level of you represents the Kabbalistic, the Hasidic terminology, it's called Memale Kol Almim, the level of godliness that's revealed and fills the worlds. When we say that He sanctified us, it's something that's more distant. This is a representative of Seviv Kol Almim, the level that, so to speak, surrounds all worlds. It's aloof from the worlds, a higher level than the chain of descent of revealed godliness in this world. Seder Hishtalshlus. Ata is Memali Kolalmim, which is Seder Hishtalshlus, the order, the chain of Hishtalshlus. Who is third person? Is He, in other words, something not revealed that is higher than Hishtalshlus. Now, we do this a bunch of times a day, we say Brachas, right? And definitely, when we daven, what's the main thing of davening? We have to love Hashem and serve Him with all our hearts. Serving Hashem with your heart is davening. So we can understand that this is something that's done. It's a major aspect of our service of Hashem. So we can understand that Rabbi Simloi, everything he taught was also around in this vein. Okay, so let's put Rabbi Simloi's teaching now about the Pidyon HaBen in the context of him always being in the mode of praising Hashem. And there's two aspects of that, the revealed and the higher than being able to be revealed. So he comes to a Pidyon HaBen, okay, the redeeming of the firstborn. And now there's a question that's also relevant to this aspect. About we can learn the question about who makes the bracha. We can learn it. It's about the Pidyon HaBen of now, the Hashem redeeming His firstborn from the exile. In other words, what's the question? Hashem is coming to redeem the Jewish people from the exile. And now the question is, it's obvious that the mitzvah of Al Pidyon HaBen, the mitzvah that the blessing for redeeming the son, the father makes the bracha. Question is, who makes the Shechionu? What does it mean? Who's the father? Who's the Kohen? In when we talk about the supernal levels. So father here would be referring to the level of Hashem that's higher than Hishtalshlus, right? Because we know that Av refers to Chachma, father refers to the level of Chachma, because Chachma is also referred to as something that precedes the world. Alefcha Chachma, I will teach you Chachma, but we know that Alefcha refers to the 2,000 years that Chachma, that the Torah precedes the world. So Chachma represents something higher than world. So that's Av, the level of Hashem, which is called Father, is level higher than the world, higher than Hishtalshlus, than the revealed descent, revealed level of godliness revealed in the world, right? Then we have the level called Koyin. What's Koyin known for? Koyanim are known to be people of chesed, of kindness. Kindness is the very basis, the very basic aspect, the key element of the Sefirot, of the way godliness is revealed in the world, in the Seder Hishtalshlus. So let's say if Av is above Hishtalshlus, higher, unlimited, Koyin represents godliness coming down in the world in a more limited fashion. So he says like this. It's clear that for the actual redemption, that has to come from otherworldly sources, has to come from the Father. Father has to redeem. Just like it was in the first redemption. When we left Egypt, that Hashem came with His full, with He Himself came. Even though, if you would have gone in the line of reasoning, there were problems because the angel says, why are you saving the Jews? They're also idolaters. The Egyptian idolaters, the Jews are idolaters. Why are you choosing to save the Jews and not the Egyptians? So it had to come from a place which is super beyond reasoning. Hashem just says, Bechira, I've chosen the Jews and I'm redeeming them. How much more so when it comes to the future redemption? For sure, the redemption has to come from a place which is higher than Hishtalshlus. It has to come from Hashem Himself. The question is, what about Shechiyanu? Shechiyanu has within it, we thank Hashem for keeping us alive, Lizman Hazeh, to this time. Zman, time already is a more revealed thing. It's in the realm of creation. So who has to make that bracha? In other words, who has to bring down, how will the redemption come down into the confines, into the contours of this world, so to speak? Is it going to be the Father, otherworldly, because he's doing the mitzvah? Or is the Kohen? Why would the Kohen, remember that we said the Kohen has benefit from this money. What does that mean? That would mean, even though that the source, even though the source of the redemption is definitely from a level higher than the world, but bringing it down here into the Zman Hazeh, into the contours of this time of this world, that's going to happen through the Kohen. Possibly, this is the question. Why would we think the Kohen? Because there's a benefit. What does that mean, there's a benefit? This is a subtle thing. Together with us in Galus is Hashem, right? And it says Hashem, it doesn't say Hashem will bring us back from the Galus. It says He will come back from the Galus. It means He's here together with us. So Hashem is also referred to as a Kohen. Hashem as a Kohen is Hashem the way He is, so to speak, imminent. He is present here in this world. So if so, perhaps the Geula has to come down in a way that it's a revelation adaptable to this world, and this way there can also be the benefit for the Kohen, that level of godliness which is here, enveloped in this world. Also, there's something else, and that is, you could say that the Geula really is some kind of a reward for the good work we've done at the time of the exile. So maybe it has to come in a way of filtering down through the realms of nature, because this is the way the Geula, the redemption, will be fully integrated and be able to be a proper reward for the mitzvahs that were done here in this world. That's one way of thinking. That the Shechiyanu, the drawing down of the Geula, while it starts from a super worldly source, from an unlimited source, Av, level of Father, but it comes down to Lizman Hazeh, the Shechiyanu aspect, the Lizman Hazeh, bring it down into time and place, so to speak, that happens through Koyin, through the level of godliness, which is within the Seder Hishtalshlus. However, on the other hand, there's another way of thinking, and that is that the Father should make the blessing. Why? In other words, that even the bringing down of the Geula into this world also has to be in another worldly way, in a higher than, in a limitless way, from Av, from the Father. Why? Because he's doing a mitzvah. In other words, the whole point of the mitzvah, the whole point of the Geula, of the redemption, is not about any rewards, not about any benefits. It's because this is what Hashem wants. Mitzvah is the will of Hashem, right? This is the commandment of Hashem. Hashem wants to be revealed here in this world. The limitless, the higher the limitation of God is going to be revealed in this world, in the contours of this world, Lizman Hazeh. So it also has to come from an otherworldly way. So what's the answer? So the answer, the way the Gemara figures out the answer, is that the Aviya Ben makes both brachas. That since it's the mitzvah of Hashem, the father makes both brachas. He starts the redemption from its source and he also brings it down into this time. In other words, because the mitzvah of pidyon of redeeming the son is the mitzvah of our Father in heaven, so the same way that the beginning, the first bracha, al pidyon haben, we make the blessing on the redemption, is incumbent upon the father. In other words, it's coming from a place higher than hishtalshus, higher than limitation. Similarly, it's going to also come whoop down here below, also in a way higher than limitation. However, the beauty is that it's also going to be appreciated by us and bring us to a notion of joy, because the shechiyanu needs to be something that's joyous. You only make a shechiyanu when it's palpable joy. So it's going to come from a level that's way higher than the world, but Hashem's going to make it in a miraculous way. It comes down into the world in another worldly way, but yet it's appreciated by the world. And here we also understand why the connection of the Pidyon HaBen to the tractate of Pesachim. Because we said that Pesachim is about Pesach, where Hashem himself redeemed the Jewish people from the exile. But there's also a hint here to the future redemption. That is, Pesach, the word Pesach also has within it Chas. Chas is to have mercy, to have pity. So Hashem has pity on us. Hashem means Hashem has pity on us. In other words, and that's the way the Targum translates Upasach. In the Hebrew, Upasach is Hashem jumped. In the Targum, it's Hashem had mercy, had pity. Targum is translation. Translation is making it adaptable more to this world. So we're saying that when we translate Pesach to be adaptable and to be relatable to this world, it has to be in a way that it translates into having mercy, having pity, in a way of rachmim, in a merciful way. So first they said this in the Beis Medrash. Beis Medrash is where Torah is expounded. And then it was brought down to halacha. Halacha means, word halacha, means it's also brought down in halicha yisraelim, into the travels or the paths of the world. Halacha is the way the Torah integrates with the world and tells the world how to behave. How do we have to behave in the world? So it goes from the Beis Medrash that the father makes to, and it becomes a hilchasa, it becomes something that becomes the way that we walk in this world, that the father of the child makes both brachas. In other words, Hashem will start the redemption, give the source of the redemption, and he'll also bring the redemption to its fruition down here on earth. And all that is going to be done in a way that the Av, the father, is doing it, in a way of higher than the order of Ishtalshlus, in a way of Pesach, his pass, his jumping, in a way of jumping. Pasach means also jumping, right? But in a way of Tev, Anir, Manigal, in a way of revealed good, speedily in our days. Talking about Av, the Rebbe also brought in here something from his father, and he said that in the Kutei Levi Yitzchak, in his father's writings, it says that Rabbi Simloi himself is mainly connected to Nigla, to the revealed aspects of the Torah, because the word Simloi is also like garment, and therefore garment Kabbalistically is more related to Zun, Zohen, Nukva, more related to the revealed aspects. And therefore, Rabbi will now understand why Rabbi Simloi says he didn't know. He had to go to the Beis Medrash to ask who makes the bracha. Because the Kohen, he couldn't, in his level, come to the level of Chochmah, which is higher than Ishtalshlus. By definition, Rabbi Simloi was at a level of, which is called Kabbalistically Zun, Zohen, Nukva, which is removed from the level of Chochmah, and therefore he had to go to the Beis Medrash to ask, what does Chochmah say? Chachma is higher than Ishtalshlus. At any rate, this was a little bit of a synopsis of the Sicha. There's so many aspects of and nuances in the footnotes. Just quickly, I just want to throw in there that the very same question that Rebbe brings in the footnotes, we talked about who's the mitzvah on, this child, but he just can't do it, so the father gets the mitzvah, or it's on the father, the chatchila. That says the same dilemma we could have about bris, perhaps. And perhaps the Bavli and Rishalmi have also. In other words, is the mitzvah of bris on the child, but at 8 days, child can't do it, so the father does it for him? Or is or is the mitzvah on the or is the mitzvah on the father, the chatchila? It could be that Rabbi points out that your Bava and Yerushalmi may have a different approach to this. What about the mitzvah of studying Torah? Is it a mitzvah on the son, which the father fulfills, or is it a mitzvah just on the father? All this is dealt with in an amazing way in the footnotes. I want to mention something else, that it's not just hair splitting. Oh, this is something I wanted to mention. We said the difference, that in the end of the day, the Gemara wants to tell us that the father makes both blessings. He emphasized that the halacha is that the father makes both. Why did he say it in that way? Because he wants to say, you need to know the reason why the Kohen is not making the Shachiyon. Not because it's not enough money to make a Shachiyon one, but because the main mitzvah is on the father, so that's why he has the mitzvah of Pidyon HaBen, and that's why he's also going to make the mitzvah of Shachiyonu, because mainly the mitzvah is the father, not the Kohen. So if somebody's going to make a Shachiyonu about the money transfer here, make it on the mitzvah, not on the Kohen, who it's debatable about the Kohen. It is a benefit, but it belongs to the father. What's the difference of the Gemara teaching us this? The difference would be a halacha lemaisa, the Rebbe points out. What happens if there's a suffik b'chayiv? We're not sure if the child is a b'chayiv. Well, how could that be? What happens if the mother first had a miscarriage at a very early stage? And we're not sure, did that thing that she, did that fetus that she lost, was it developed enough to be considered the opening of the womb and the next child won't be a bechor, won't be a firstborn? Or was it not enough? Was it just considered to be still in a state of, so to speak, not yet developed enough, and it's considered some kind of waste or something that passed from the mother, but that wouldn't make her to be considered as somebody whose womb had opened with birth, so the next child that's born is a full-blown bechor, and he's going to need a pidyon haben with a bracha. Now, what happens if you don't know exactly what stage that earlier miscarriage was? What do? You do a pidyon haben as a suffix, as a doubt. When there's a doubt, the father is not going to make the bracha. Father is not going to make the bracha of Shechiyanu. The father won't make the bracha for pidyon haben because he's not sure. Is this a biblical mitzvah or not? Could be the mother already gave birth to something that, although it sadly what didn't turn out to be a fetus and a full-blown birth, but perhaps that already was a miscarriage in the sense that the next child is no longer a bechor. So in that case, it's clear that the father can make the bracha. So if we say that the reason the Kohen doesn't make a bracha ever is because it's not enough money, then in this case also there'll be no Shechiyanu. The father can't make it because he's not sure he has a mitzvah. The Kohen can't make it. But if we learn like the Rebbe learned, that the Gemara is teaching us for Hilchasa, the reason the father doesn't make Shechiyanu is not because the Kohen. If the Gemara would just say the Kohen doesn't, that the father makes Shechiyanu, we think maybe it's because there's not enough money for the Kohen. It's not really a joy. No, the Gemara says, no. The father makes both. In other words, the fact that the Shechiyanu goes to the father is because of the nature of the mitzvah of Pidyon HaBen, is that it's on the father, and therefore the Shechiyanu also gets made only once, and we're going to make it with the mitzvah, the one who's doing the mitzvah, the father. But here the father can't make the Shechiyanu because he's not sure he's doing a mitzvah. So the Shechiyanu doesn't disappear. According to the way that Rebbe learned this Gemara, it's going to be a chiddush, I think. I mean, that's what the Rebbe says. The nafka mina, Rebbe always wants to see there should be a practical difference, not just splitting hairs. There's a practical difference here in the bracha. In this footnote 37, he says the difference between these two reasons is going to be if it's a safik bechor. So then, seemingly, the Kohen should make a Shechiyanu. I'm not a paskening here halacha. You have to ask a rabbi who paskens halacha, who deals in practical halacha and has the proper credentials. And indeed, I'm going to ask. But it seems to me that that's what the Rebbe is saying. If there's this Gemara gave us a chiddush by saying it in this language, that the halacha is, the father makes both. It explained to us, like the Rebbe points out, the Shechiyanu is not going away because it's not enough money. It's because we're giving it to the father. Because he has both brachas. If the father can't make it, it would seem that the Shechiyanu one would go still to the Kohen. May we have merit to have the Geula, Amitis Vashlema. Thank you. Bye-bye.